Well, good morning again, and welcome back to our series that we're calling Fear Not. We're talking about how to manage fear through faith. And today I want to talk with you about leaning into fear. We all want to feel safe. We like to feel safe. We want to be in control. We avoid circumstances that make us feel nervous and unsettled. We enjoy life the most when business is good, our families are thriving, work is fulfilling, money's coming in the door, the health report is normal, and our marriages are stable and strong. But sometimes life throws a curveball. The situation can feel out of control, scary. We're worried about it. And when that happens, we can easily start making up all of these crazy scenarios about the terrible things that could happen to us. Oh, the boss didn't like your last report. I'm sure I'm going to get fired. Your child brings home a bad grade at school. Oh, he's going to fail out, not get into college, ruin his life, and live with me forever. You get into another fight with your spouse. It's a bad one. You're sure he's going to leave you this time. Or you feel something weird on your body, or you feel weird inside, and oh, you're sure it's stage 4 cancer. It's easy and very tempting to construct these doomsday scenarios, but when you're afraid, what you should do instead is lean into the fear. My father started having symptoms that did not feel right. He got winded, out of breath, climbing a flight of stairs. He felt weak. Something was wrong. But my father was frightened of doctors. He never got checkups or had his blood work drawn. And so he put off going to the doctor, and he didn't tell us about these symptoms either. He figured, oh, they'd go away over time. You know, I'll get my energy back. I'll be like my old self in a while. But deep down, he was afraid. He didn't want to know what the cause might be. It took him a full year to make an appointment with the doctor. By that time, it was too late. My father passed away at a relatively young age. It's painful for me to talk about this because obviously it was a tragedy for our family. But my father was also a brilliant man of science, so it was a tragedy to the scientific community as well. And it was so unnecessary. What fears do you need to face? What fear in your life right now do you need to face? Is it a health condition you don't want to think about? A coworker or neighbor or someone you need to confront but are afraid to? Is it something else that's got you worried, like a child who's off course? Is it an addiction that you need to admit, but you can't? Do you need a reality check in your life, but you'd rather avoid it? Whatever it is, don't hide from your fears. The see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil approach, it doesn't work. And it can easily backfire like it did with my father. Instead, what you need to do is lean into the fear. Two courageous people in the gospel leaned into their fears, and it paid off for them in big ways. The first was a synagogue official named Jairus. He came to Jesus for help. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." This may not seem like a very courageous thing to do. After all, his daughter was at the point of death. Her life was at stake. A parent would do anything to save their child. But you have to understand Jairus' position. A synagogue official was like a church elder would be today. He led programs and activities. He supervised the finances. He would have been widely respected in the community, held in high regard. How he acted would influence others. His reputation mattered. And at that point in his ministry, Jesus was not always accepted in the synagogues. In fact, his last visit ended with a plot to have him killed. Didn't go so well. Didn't go so well at all. Coming to Jesus would have been seen as an anathema, as something that you really should not do. It would have been frowned on in those circles because word had gotten around about how Jesus would dine with sinners, cure people, heal them on the Sabbath, and generally disregard the man-made traditions of the elders. So Jairus was putting his entire reputation at stake by coming to Jesus. Can't you just hear the whispers in the crowd? What is he doing? He's kneeling down before that man. Doesn't Jairus have any self-respect? He knows this man and what he's done wrong. But Jairus was desperate. He didn't care about their negative opinions. He wanted to save his daughter. He did not worry about showing his weakness in front of everyone. Well, a while later, some messengers came and told Jairus that his daughter had died. It was too late. There was no point in continuing. Might as well give up. Hope was lost. This would have been the perfect opportunity for Jairus to do a little backpedaling, you know, kind of distance himself from Jesus, try to save his reputation, put a spin, a positive spin on what had just happened, you know, kneeling down before Jesus and all that. It would have been a perfect opportunity for Jairus to back away from this and regain his reputation and high standing in the community. But Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." Jairus believed and they continued on. And when they arrived at his house, they came across a crowd of people who are already mourning the death of this little girl. They ridiculed Jesus and Jairus for thinking that she could be saved. But Jesus didn't pay any attention to them. He went into the house, he went into the girl's room, and he brought her back to life. Jairus had his daughter back because he was willing to lean into the fear. There also was a woman in the gospel who would not allow fear to hold her back. For 12 years, she had been dealing with a terrible health condition. It not only was it uncomfortable, I imagine, but it also had serious consequences for her life. According to the religious laws of that day, her condition put her in a state of constant ritual impurity. That meant that she could not be with her husband. She could not come into close contact with other people. She could not even enter the temple and worship God. On top of that, she had spent all her money going to doctors who could not cure her illness and only added to her suffering with painful treatments. Well, she saw Jesus in the crowd. She had heard about him. She made her way through the crowd, even though she really probably shouldn't have, being in a state of ritual impurity. She came up behind Jesus and secretly touched his cloak. Instantly, Jesus felt healing energy leave his body. He looked around for the person who had touched him. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, being cured, being healed, approached him in fear and trembling. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She was afraid because she had violated the laws of ritual purity and had gotten found out. And she had touched a man in public who was not her husband. Both were serious offenses. But Jesus did not reprimand her, did not dress her down, did not publicly humiliate her. Instead, in some of the most beautiful words in the gospel, he said, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." So tender, so loving. That's exactly what she did. Because of her remarkable courage, because she was willing to lean into the fear, even if it meant getting in trouble for violating the law, she now was taken to a new and better place, a place of healing and freedom. When fear weighs heavily on your heart, delaying it, putting it off, pretending it doesn't exist is only going to make things worse. It's natural to want to withdraw when we're afraid, to crawl into our hidey holes and hope that the problem solves itself on its own. That only makes things worse. It only makes things worse to try to hide out and pretend that nothing is wrong. It could be a threat that you're facing, you know, like a child who's off course, a difficult conversation you need to have, or an overwhelming project at work or school. Or it might be a great opportunity, like going back into the workforce after being a mom or in retirement, or starting your own small business, or going back to school, or switching careers. It could be a great opportunity, but you're afraid of it because you're worried about the downside, the risk, the cost, what people might say. We're all attracted to the path of least resistance. You know, the less pain, the less danger, the better. And I'm not saying to throw caution to the wind, you know, just let the chips fall where they may, roll the dice and hope it all works out, hope for the best. But through your fear, God could be leading you to a place of bigger blessings, higher levels, and greater success. Scripture says that one who pays heed to the wind does not sow. One who watches the clouds will never reap. Don't wait for the perfect weather. It's never going to happen. Bite the bullet and face your fear now. Trust in the rewards that God promises on the other side of fear. A great famine came across the land in the time of Elijah the prophet. There was no rain for years. The river beds were empty, the brooks had dried up, wells didn't work anymore, the crops wouldn't grow, the people were starving. God told Elijah to go to a place called Zarephath and meet a widow there who would give him some food. When he arrived, he found her gathering sticks. He asked her for some bread, but all she had left was a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. She was planning to make one last meal for her and her son, and then die of starvation. She knew it was inevitable. But Elijah said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me." Can you imagine how this widow felt? In the middle of this terrible famine, you're about to starve to death, this stranger comes in town. It's like, "Hey, woman," subtext, "go make me some cake," you know? I mean, she must have thought he was crazy, kind of demanding it as well. But Elijah promised her, he said, "The jar of flour will not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry until the day when the Lord will send rain upon the earth." Well, she believed him and she left and did what Elijah said. And she was able to eat for a year, and Elijah and her son as well. Well, after that, after the year, things got better. The rain came back. The land was restored. Everything was good again. Except this widow's son died. He got sick suddenly and died. I can imagine what she was thinking. Why did I get through this famine? Why did I survive this famine just so that my son could die? I'd have to watch him die. She complained to Elijah. Elijah complained to God. God gave Elijah the power, just like Jesus in the gospel, to bring back that child to life. That's because God has something amazing for everyone who trusts in him on the other side of fear. God has something amazing for all of us on the other side of fear. Years ago, when I was just a junior in college, I did something that I didn't think I could ever do. I was working part-time as an EMT for an ambulance service. The owner of the company was a formidable man. He was self-made. He's kind of a local business tycoon. You know, he's widely respected in the community. And I got this idea that of a way that he could expand his operations. But I didn't know how to approach it. So I talked to my older brother, who was in business school at the time. He taught me how to write up a proposal. But I thought, you know, I can't do this. He's an important man. I'm just a college student. I'm just a little over 20 years old, and this man is widely respected in the community. I was afraid he was going to laugh me out of his office, or worse yet, fire me for being too pushy. But I made a decision to lean into the fear. So I wrote up that proposal, I marched into his office, I invited him to dinner, and then pitched him over dessert. And to my surprise, he loved my idea. He implemented it and then promoted me to management. For the last 2 years of college, I was a full-time student and a full-time executive. That's what happens when you lean into the fear. God has amazing things for you on the other side of fear. When you trust Him, when you believe in Him, when you lean into that fear, when you move past what scares you, when you get out of your comfort zone, you can overcome anything that may be holding you back. A few months ago, I was having dinner with a friend of mine, Tom. He does a lot of public speaking. So naturally, we started talking about messages and homilies and sermons and the best way to communicate. He said something to me that intrigued me. He said, "Interesting speakers lead interesting lives." I'd never thought about that before. He said, "They do dangerous things like skydiving, base jumping, wingsuiting, whatever that is, bull running, and big wave surfing, and when they live to tell about it, they talk about it. That's what makes them interesting." I thought, oh no, I'm not a very adventurous person. I've never done anything like that. I could never imagine myself doing anything like that. 20 years ago, I tried to take up skiing, and I freaked out on the bunny slope. I was so afraid, I never went back. How could I do this? I resigned myself to just remain being an uninteresting speaker. Well, a few months after that, I had dinner with another person. He was a major donor to our congregation, a very generous man. I was talking to him about our missions program. I've talked to you about this before, our hope to do something amazing to help people locally, nationally, and internationally, you know, people who are suffering and in need. And he said he was in. He loved the program. He wants to help, but he promised a major contribution on one condition, that I agree to go on at least one of the mission trips myself. Well, fear struck my heart immediately. I mean, you know me. Me, in a developing nation with no running water, no creature comforts. I thought, do they have Wi-Fi? Can I get Netflix? What about my shows? How am I going to do without those? I thought, this isn't going to happen. And then I realized, I could get some great stories out of this. I'll be an interesting speaker for once. And to be honest, much more importantly than that is the fact that we need the money so we can do great things to help people who are suffering. So I agreed and I promised and I will do it. Sometimes you need other people to challenge you to lean into your fears, to challenge you to position yourself for the blessings and the success and the miracles and the breakthroughs that God has on the other side of fear. So consider this me challenging you right now. Whatever is making you afraid, whatever is causing you concern, whatever is keeping you up at night, whatever strikes fear in your heart at this moment, lean into that fear. Trust in God. It'll pay off in the end. And besides, you might get some great stories to tell. God bless you.